Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are a few people I think of as more heroic in that war day in and day out than the man I'm very privileged to say is sitting across the table from me here at the Federation for American Immigration Reform Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row. He is Congressman Steve King. He represents with great distinction the people of the 4th District of Iowa, serves on the House Judiciary Committee, including on its Subcommittee on Immigration and Border Security, which is where he deserves and needs to be because he is, of course, one of the country's great leaders on the matters of immigration security and border security and the rest. We are visiting with him, I'm very pleased to say, on the day that the United States Supreme Court has just struck down President Obama's amnesty of illegal aliens. And I want to say, I believe in no small measure, the fact that that ruling was made as it was a function of the kinds of arguments you've made over so many years, Steve King. And congratulations to you as well as to the court, and welcome aboard. Good to have you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Frank. I just appreciate being back with you here and all the work that you do. And we cross paths on a regular basis here on this hill. It's common cause brings us together. We're in the same flight pattern. Only we're going to get the others on the run one of these days. I'm happy with the Supreme Court decision. That's the best we could have expected. And the reason I say that, and you would think that a clear constitutional decision like this, there would be an 8-0 decision. But because of the appointments to the court, and I'll say the Obama appointments to the court have brought this together, there's no longer an expectation that there will be a judicious decision come out of the judicial branch of government. It is purely partisan, and I know when I first came here and I started to go over to hear the oral arguments before the court, I thought I would hear profound constitutional arguments. And instead what I heard were, I never heard a constitutional argument that was made before the Supreme Court that I recall. They were arguments that had to do with tweaking the heartstrings of the swing judge, whoever was identified to be the swing judge. Justice O'Connor was usually the target of that back in those days. Then it became Justice Kennedy.
What I'm particularly interested in, Steve King, is that when you think about a president who has done as much as this one has to undermine specifically immigration laws and the enforcement thereof at both the federal level and the state level, the cumulative effect of these is going to be something that we will be living with presumably for years to come. No matter what he does in November, no matter who we elect in November. Give us, if you would, from your vantage point on the House Judiciary Committee particularly, a sense of where the greatest impact has been. Is it the DACA program? Is it the essentially legitimating illegal aliens in this country? Is it now the likelihood that there will be some further mischief made with respect to amnesty after November?
Well, Frank, I grew up in a law enforcement family, and my father spoon-fed me the Constitution and the Code of Iowa, Iowa law, at the kitchen table, and then the Bible on the end table. And so he instilled in me a deep respect for the structure of the law, and he made it clear that I knew that you live by the law, you abide by the law, and there's a means to change the law. And so I went off into my world. All I wanted to do was just start and operate my construction company, raise my family, live the American dream. And I'm watching the debate take place in the House and Senate on the 1986 Amnesty Act. And even though it passed the House and the Senate, I recall my thoughts. I'm listening to the radio there in my construction office while I'm working. And with great confidence that Ronald Reagan would see with clarity that we cannot be rewarding people for violating the law because we'll get more lawbreakers and the respect for the law will be diminished. And he signed the Amnesty Act in 1986. And it was one of only two times that Ronald Reagan let me down. And I've just said to people, I kicked a dent in my filing cabinet when I heard that out of great frustration that how could the President of the United States miss that? How could he sign something like that and capitulate to all the forces that were at play? It started out 1 million people. It turned out to be over 3 million people. And I knew then that we had to set about restoring the respect for the law and immigration law, the rule of law. That was 1986. I expected it would be a long, hard slog, but the digression that's taken place in an accelerated mode from that point on, each succeeding president enforced the immigration law less than Ronald Reagan. And now we're at one that blatantly violates the law and has set up policies, DACA, DAPA, the Morton memos, in his attempt to legalize, it turns out to be millions and millions of people. And so I think one of the things that you had asked, or at least were thinking about, was what's been the greatest damage that's taken place here under this Obama administration or in the modern era of immigration? I think it's been the damage to the rule of law, the destruction of the rule of law, the digression of this process that I'm involved in trying to restore it. And then, though I've watched here in this Congress, among members of my own Judiciary Committee and the Immigration Subcommittee itself, people that should be focused on the Constitution, the rule of law, and immigration, we lost a vote on the floor of the House last week on my amendment that cut off that would have eliminated the DACA, the illegals, from going into the military. And when you lose people that should know what that policy is, then that tells me, and I have not point-blanked them yet, so I'm guessing, but that tells me that they have accepted the idea that the president can legalize people that are here illegally, and that DACA and DAPA and the Morton memos, all of those things have a validity that they would then can see, well, if they're legal, then why don't, and they want to fight for America, why wouldn't we want to put them in the military? That's when I see that flaw in thinking. It's awfully hard to turn those people back around again.
Yeah, not just put them in the military, put them on the path to citizenship as well.
Well, that's right. In fact, it's a shortcut to a path to citizenship. And here's what happens: they break into America, they violate our immigration laws, they come across the border, then they go to the military, and they have to lie to get into the military, and then after they've committed the crime of unlawful entry, and they've lied and committed fraud to get into the military, then they take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And I say, which time did they tell the truth? Probably no time.
Probably
did they?
Not.
They're not going to have any more fidelity to the Constitution than they have to, than they have to their own word, or that they have to the immigration laws that we have.
You've had the chance to talk to Ed Meese, Ronald Reagan's Attorney General at the time, about the decision of the administration to sign that Amnesty Act. Give us a flavor of Ed Meese's attitude towards it, and for that matter, President Reagan's.
Well, I'd say that with Attorney General Meese, and I will say to his credit, he's talked me off the ledge a time or two. So, I appreciate him, and I think he is. He's a great American person and personality and patriot. But it's just the discussion of that it wasn't he alone, but I can't name the people that were around Reagan at that time other than Ed Meese, because I've had this conversation with him. And he just said that he regrets that they had advised Ronald Reagan to sign the Amnesty Act. They thought that if he could sign it, that they would get law enforcement. That was the pledge. They would be able to secure the border and enforce the law. I don't know why a president had to make a deal to be able to enforce the law. He should be able to give the orders to enforce the law. And it's just typical of almost what happened to Bush 41 when he said, I'll sign your tax increase if we're going to get spending cuts later. Ronald Reagan signed the Amnesty Act thinking he was going to get enforcement later. Instead, we got ever more opening borders. So it was just an expression of regret that they had advised the president. And I took it that it was a collection of cabinet members that were the last ones to make that advice. And I don't know about what Reagan might have said to push back or wonder what the actual flavor was of. But I suspect he relented and signed it. And out of public pressure and out of legal advice that was coming that said, let's put this thing away. It's causing too much trouble. We've got a country to run.
We do indeed have a country to run. I know you've got to run on to other of these Radio Row hosts, and I just want to tell you how much I appreciate everything you do, Steve King. It's a privilege to be able to be your wingman from time to time and always supporting what you're up to, and especially in this area of immigration security and border security and law enforcement. It's so critical to the public safety. So your leadership and courage in the face of adversity, more often than not, is deeply appreciated.
Well, let's fix this in the next administration, Frank. Let's secure our borders, restore respect for the rule of law, turn this into a wholesome country where everybody is pulling in the harness instead of riding in the wagon, and then we'll set about and we'll defeat radical Islamic jihad, the ideology. We get that done, let's take the rest of the year off.
Okay, I'm with you.
Thank you,
my Frank.
Friend.
All the best.
My pleasure.
Next up, we'll talk with Joe Guzzardi of Californians for Population Stabilization. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.